Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the 15th of December at the Camden Powerhouse in London Town. Well, not Santa Claus, but me, cabaret legend Lenny Beige, as I host my very special Regency Rooms Christmas extravaganza. It's an old-school variety show with some of the names that made my club the talk of the town and some of the very best new acts working the circuit today. Plus, there might even be a household name or two thrown in for good measure. Add to that a band of world-class session players, and you've got the greatest Christmas variety show out there. There's literally no show like it. Tickets are from £25. Just visit ctickets.com. That's ctickets.com and enter Regency Rooms and get booking.
Hello and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal. It's Monday night, it's 10:18 p.m. And not only did our plan to have a podcast, to do a podcast before, after the Man United game, not come to fruition. So we thought I would jump straight in and look at and do a podcast after this Everton game, Josh and I. And now look where we are. We have to somehow keep some kind of sense of perspective and calm in the face of a truly depressing evening. And to help us analyse this miserable night in which we lost 2-1 to Everton, we have Ricky Lawrence. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Boyd. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Boyd, when we decided we would do this podcast, which was only about an hour ago, we're Arsenal 1-0 up, and I was quite looking forward to talking about how we managed to steal
how naive
tonight.
How naive you were to think that. I'm going to start with this. This is what's uppermost in my mind right now. When Mikel Arteta decided to bring on a substitute, he brought on Eddie Nketiah, who has been basically pretty low on the in the kind of hierarchy of forwards, I would say, for the last year, 18 months or so. Suddenly, he comes on second game in a row. He comes on tonight when we desperately needed to score. Instead of Aubameyang, and we know Aubameyang's going through
Nketiah came on at 1-0, didn't he, Boyd?
Yeah. He still needs to score. Anyway, he brought on Nketiah, who is a forward, right? According to Alan Smith, in fact, Eddie Nketiah is so reliable when it comes to his finishing. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, because it's clearly not true. He decides to bring on a forward, and he brings on Eddie Nketiah. My point is, he's bringing him on, this player who has been lower on the rung of forwards for a long time, quite rightly, in my opinion, instead of Aubameyang, and even, I would say, Nicola Pepe, who has suddenly become the frozen man, the man who's being frozen out, can't even come on as a sub ahead of Eddie Nketiah. Now, I want to know what you think the explanation is. For me, the only explanation can be, because there's no way on God's earth Eddie Nketiah is going to have more chance of scoring than Aubameyang or influence the game, I would say, more than Pepe. But that's debatable. But for me, it's like we're going to sell him in January. I mean, there are already stories in the press that we want to sell him in January. Well, I'm sure we were desperate to sell him in the summer and that no one wanted him for whatever price we're trying to get. And now he's ahead in the pecking order. Is he really in this game where, at that point, where the substitution was made, all the threats were there that we were going to concede a goal and we're going to throw this match away as we always do. So anyway, that's Ricky. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be baffled by this evening. Actually, Saka got injured or got kicked in the first half, didn't he? Mm. And on my WhatsApp group, a couple of people said, "Oh, Nketiah, like, it can't be Nketiah. And I actually didn't see Nketiah warming up, and I thought it was strange, and I assumed they got it wrong. But maybe Nketiah was ready to come on at that point, which was only after, what, 20 minutes. So when he came on for Martinelli, it didn't make any sense. What made less sense was that we had Aubameyang and Pepe as well on the bench. Nketiah, I'd say, is the least of a winger of those players. But the one right. I will say, Nketiah, as far as I'm concerned, is definitely not good enough to play for Arsenal. And he obviously missed a glorious chance tonight. But he did actually do all right in patches. He actually set up two good chances. He obviously made a lovely pass for Aubameyang in the last second. And he made a lovely ball for Ødegaard. That aside, he shouldn't be coming onto the pitch ahead of Aubameyang. I'm not a Pepe fan in the slightest at all. So if this is Arteta's way of trying to piss off Pepe, essentially, and get him to demand a leave, fully behind that, and no problem with that whatsoever. Pepe goes, great, perfect. The only other thing I could think of is, one is he's trying to give Aubameyang a rocket up the arse to, you know, get his arse in gear so he actually isn't watching Nketiah play. Or he's trying to get Nketiah on side again so he signs a contract. And the only reason I can think is to try and get some money on him, because we're going to lose him for free. My brother, who I watched the game with, pointed out that Liverpool sold Solanke for 20-odd million, sold Brewster for 20-odd million. Jordan and I, they made loads of money on, and we're letting Nketiah, who I don't rate still, he's gonna leave us for free by the looks of things. It's not good business. And that's not Arteta's concern when we're playing Everton, but that's the only other thing, which is mad. But it wouldn't... I know you haven't spoken about the United game since the substitutions. He's made six substitutions in the last two games, and five of them, as far as I'm concerned, have been baffled. I can't remember the other United one, but the double substitution he made when we were losing, and tonight's substitution, all three of the substitutions tonight were just baffled. Why bring Tierney off when we're winning?
Yeah,
Tierney's a better defensive fullback than Tavares, no doubt.
Of course, I thought the only Tierney explanation was that he was tired after, because he hadn't had, you know, he hasn't been match fit and all that. But even then, like, that's tenuous, isn't it? It's like he's fit enough to play the game. He didn't look that tired. I mean, he had as much energy. He looked like he had more energy than most of our other players. Josh.
Yeah, I mean, the Tierney thing is a strange one, because even at Old Trafford the other day, I thought, okay, I get you don't want to pull Tavares straight out of the side and what that sends a message after one mistake at Anfield. But there comes a point where we go, hang on, we want to see Tierney in the team. We feel he is the better player. And I know Ricky went up to Old Trafford and I let him down
I did it in the end.
Ricky didn't go to Old Trafford.
I couldn't go with that, Josh.
Oh, we were going to go to Old Trafford. And Ricky has left me feeling like terrible for the last three, 4 days. I might have let him down and not gone. But when I saw that team put out for the game at Old Trafford, I just thought, hang on a minute, Arteta is pushing it here in terms of sort of leaving Tierney out of the team. And, you know, we saw it tonight, Granit Xhaka, straight back in the team, you know, after a period of injury and absence. So, yeah, I don't think Arteta necessarily got that call entirely right in recent weeks. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much to unravel. Usually we record the following day, boys, and it's sort of we've taken a bit of the emotion out of it. But right now, this is the classic, who do you need to play when you need a result, when you're being on a ridiculous run? I mean, it's totally absurd. Eight without a win, 1-0 up with 12 minutes to go. We've had all the fortune in the world for them to have two offsides by millimetres. When we've gone 2-1 down, we've got two worldy chances to grab something that might have been a touch undeserved. So, it's frustrating.
Tom in our WhatsApp group made the point that if you're a club on the verge of crisis, he says, just play Arsenal, we'll get you back on track. It's so true. And I mean, there's so much to unpack, isn't there? But for me, it's the decision making. The problem is, really, I think the difference between us, we had a good period recently, you know, not so long ago. And that was the period where he picked Lacazette and Aubameyang, played Lacazette just behind Aubameyang. And we're playing Lokonga. What's Lokonga done to deserve being dropped, by the way, in favour of Xhaka going straight back in? Lokonga wasn't the problem in the field. The problem in the field is Partey. Get to that in a minute. Anyway, the structure and team selection throughout a period where we went unbeaten and we played good attacking football. We had loads of chances in three or four games. And what those games had in common was he had Lacazette and Aubameyang to, in that formation, that kind of 4-4-1-1 formation. And then he decided to fucking throw that away. We instantly, the football we played instantly became slower and more boring and more tedious, and we created fewer chances. And he sealed the deal with these last two away games with even worse team selection. As Ricky said, terrible substitutions, terrible decision-making by the players that I think comes from him. And I know he said in the post-match, he hasn't done the post-match interview yet tonight live as we're recording this, but after the Man U game, he kind of said, oh, he was furious with the team for sitting back. But it must come from him. His fear, I think, and his, like, you know, keeping them in this tight formation and keeping them timid, that timidity has to come from him. There's no other explanation for it. And it was all there again tonight. You could just see it happening in front of your eyes. But it is, for me, it's the difference between us being fourth, as we could have been, if we'd have got, 4 points out of these games? Certainly, you know, one, two of them. Two easily winnable games. And the seventh position where we are now is him. It's Arteta. It's totally his decision-making and his poor tactics and his terrible substitutions. They are decisions. And I know it's, you know, reactive and It's raw. But I'm feeling all over again that we were, you know, those of us who don't think he's good enough. I think we're right.
Get your phone out. Have a look at your nice photo you got at the Wenger film.
Have a smile about that. Yeah. I sent my picture of me and Arteta to the WhatsApp group to remind myself and them, you know, of what the situation was. But Ricky,
am I?
It hasn't made me feel any better. Ricky, am I? It's Arteta, isn't it? Isn't it?
I'm not a fan of Arteta. I'm not. With every win or decent result we have had, I haven't changed my stance on him. All I want to do is be proven wrong. But I've said for a long time I don't want him to be our manager because I don't think he's good enough. And it's not a case of, you know, tonight he shouldn't be our manager, but if we win on Saturday, he should. And then, you know, that's what the problem was with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at United. He would always be on the verge of losing his job, and then they were going to run or win a good game, you know. So I still don't want Arteta to be our manager. I didn't want him to be our manager when we were doing well a few weeks ago, and I don't want him to be our manager now. I don't think he's good enough. However, this is what you get when you employ someone that's never managed a football team before. We'll get good results and we'll get bad results. And the difference is that he's got no experience to draw on. I think what's been really frustrating the last couple of games, as I said before, it's the substitutions. You know, even like Thursday night when we were losing, he took off Odegaard and Aubameyang. Got no problem with taking off at least one of them. But change, you know, he left Elneny and Partey tonight. Like, we should have won that game, but not based on the performance, but we should have gone into that game on Everton's form, winning that every day of the week. They lost 5-2 at home to Watford a few weeks ago. And it's 1-0, and he brings off Lacazette for Aubameyang. Keep them both on. We've got 5 minutes to go.
Of course. I mean,
didn't understand the Nketiah one and the Tierney one. But I listened last week, and I wouldn't say I got ridiculed, but Ollie, who was the guest, Ollie Shorts last week, was laughing at me and saying, I think, well, I said in our WhatsApp group that I wouldn't take 4 points from these two games. We got zero. But the reason I didn't want to take 4 points was because we're playing against United team who just lost 4-1 to Watford. We're playing against the Everton team who, you know, was 8 games without a win, including some embarrassing defeats in there. We should have, I want us to win every game. So I'm never going to just, you know, accept a draw, even at Old Trafford. But it's just the performances. We've got 3 points out of the last 12, and that was Newcastle at home. What's frustrated me watching Arsenal this season is, you know, look at our victories, especially the home victories, or actually any of the victories. Burnley 1-0, Watford 1-0, Norwich I think was also 1-0. These aren't convincing victories. These aren't wins that make you think, okay, fine. You know, we're exciting to watch. Villa was fantastic. You know, that was a great performance. And the, obviously Spurs and Leicester, even Leicester, we rode our luck. Ramsdale had a blinder that game. There's nothing as a fan, I don't believe, that makes you convinced for the next game. It's when you win a game, you want to be convinced, okay, we're really building a momentum here. But when you scrape past Norwich at home, when you scrape past Watford at home, it doesn't fill you with confidence, and it catches up with you. Tonight we conceded, we almost conceded four goals. They had two goals ruled out that were marginal offside.
Yeah.
This is against Everton, who are without their best striker. Their only striker, really. The other one is Salomon Rondon. So it's disheartening. You want to see, even against Newcastle, like, it wasn't the performance that makes you go away and think, right, we are a good team. It's getting 3 points, but the bare minimum.
Yeah, Josh was suggesting while you were talking that we stopped and watched the Arteta post-match interview, but it's kind of too late now. But I can see, I'm looking. No, it's not your fault. You're quite. I was enjoying that that summation of the situation, which I totally agree with. But I can see they showed the incident where the Godfrey stamp on Tomiyasu's face. And I can see without even listening to him, I can see Arteta is using that as some kind of, I mean, excuse is a strong word, but he's definitely banging on about that, which is fair enough. It was a fucking ludicrous decision, and he should have been sent off. But that's not why we lost the game, is it? I mean, we didn't lose this game. It's nothing to do with it. I mean, we would have won the game, I'm guessing, hopefully, you'd think, if we'd have had one of their players sent off so early on in the game. But we were playing shit. We played terribly in that first half. We were marginally better in the second half, even though we finally scored that goal just before half time. But we had one shot, or not even just one shot for about 40 minutes, Josh. It was absolutely excruciating to watch against an Everton team that were just nothing. They weren't even kind of playing defensively particularly. They were kind of trying their best, weren't they, as the home team. We had way more possession, but we were shocking in that first half.
Yeah, I mean, we're incredibly fortunate to be ahead. And I think Carragher and Neville made that pretty clear at halftime in their assessment, didn't they? That we were, you know, fortunate to be ahead. I mean, the first half was incredibly forgettable in terms of a spectacle. You know, it's rare in Premier League matches one team leads at halftime and loses. It's a really rare occurrence in Premier League football, and all the more so, you know, to lose a game when you're ahead with 12 minutes to go. They massively have found a way to throw it away. I am intrigued what Pepe has done, because if you look at the number of people that have been given some minutes in the last five games, of which Pepe has been given 0 minutes in the last five games, we're not even talking about like a start. And obviously there were parts this season. He started those first two games. He started against Norwich, against Burnley, even that 2-0 draw against Crystal Palace at home. Since then, in the next seven games, he's had 5 minutes, which was the last 5 minutes at Leicester when we were really 2-0 up. So, I mean, sure, he hasn't done anything hugely impressive this season. But the idea that he deserves to be the one that's totally, you know, totally out of favour doesn't seem to quite match up with everything else. I cannot understand it, as Ricky said. If you want to bring someone on that left-hand sided position, someone who probably has a point to prove, why are we playing the player that's about to leave the club?
And out of position, effectively out of position. Yeah. Yeah. When we need
it that. It's a very, very peculiar.
But it's him. He tries to be too clever.
Decision. He's too clever.
He's too clever by half, and he's not clever. It's a fucking, it's a mirage. It's really annoying me. He thinks he's Pep Guardiola. And even Pep, and I've said this before, but even Pep at his worst, and Pep is obviously a genius, but he's only ever fucks it up when he tries to be too clever himself. And now we've got a sub-Pep, a would-be Pep, a wannabe Pep, who, you know, put the cones out for Pep, has no experience, and he's like, and that's what he's that those are what he's that's what he's drawing from Pep, it seems to me, more than anything, is being overly clever, being overly really smart with your decisions, and it's fucking ruining it, ruining us. Because actually, we got a really good team together there for a brief period of two or three games, and I know we weren't playing amazing opposition, but we did. You know, we almost accidentally fell into playing quite good attacking football. I want to remind us all a couple of, you know, not so long ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's ruined it for himself, and it's his. It's all down to him.
The momentum that we had, you know, achieved.
Yeah, the momentum
is obviously just hugely gone. And I think it's fine. I think, you know, the defeat at Liverpool, it was what it was. The defeat to United felt like a massive missed opportunity. But it would have been, in a way, forgiven if we'd have just got back on track with a win tonight, just because of the momentum that you would have gone back to fifth in the table, to have gone back above Man United and to go back above Tottenham, because you look obviously at the results that happened at the weekend. We saw United win, we saw Tottenham win, we saw West Ham win. So suddenly you got realistically our three challengers for this fourth spot. And
let's not forget,
couldn't have gone worse.
Let's not forget, a month ago Tottenham was in fucking crisis to the extent that they sacked their manager, and they're now ahead of us. They're ahead of us in all, with a game in hand, better goal difference, better, you know, more games won, fewer games defeated. They were in. They were the crisis club. They were a laughing stock. Like, that was it. Like, 4 weeks ago. It's extraordinary. Man United got rid of their manager, already turning it around. I mean, these. You know, you might want to have a think, Arsenal, about that situation.
But then again, Boyd, where did you expect to be about now? We are. But that's probably where you thought.
But that's the depressing thing, isn't it? We'll talk about. We should take a quick break. We'll talk about more about this fucking miserable situation after this break.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
And we're back from the break. I want to just some specific things I wanted to. I mentioned briefly in my opening ramble. Ricky, what do you think about Xhaka coming straight back in?
Wrong person to ask.
Right person to ask. Absolutely the right person to ask.
It doesn't surprise me. Unfortunately, people used to talk about Arsene Wenger having a blind spot for centre-backs. We seem to have a blind spot for centre midfielders for as long as, you know, my memory goes back. I can't remember the last centre midfielder that we bought who's at the club now? Let's maybe leave Lokonga aside because he's young and has done all right since he's come in. But who's the last centre back that centre midfielder who we signed who you'd, you know, say was a good signing? I can't think of one. I'm sure people will. But I can't think of a decent midfielder who's nailed on starting now.
Bring back Torreira and Guendouzi. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They're two more signings that we made who aren't good enough or aren't deemed to be good enough, and I don't like it, usually. But
Kallstrom wasn't given enough of a chance.
Kim Kallstrom, yeah, I know. That's what it's come to. But yeah, it's people would argue, and probably rightly, that it's the most important position in the team. We have not had a good centre midfielder, someone who, you know, if he's not playing, we're going to be in trouble or anything like that. For a long time. We're not the only team, of course, in that problem. But it's Xhaka coming back. It didn't surprise me. I actually thought it should have been Lokonga that played. And it didn't surprise me. I didn't realize he was actually going to start. But as in he was even fit. But
Xhaka comes back. That's what puts in the... Because, you know, Tierney back in the team, looked absolutely full of energy, made that brilliant cross for the goal and was, you know, a threat. and defensively sound as well. And Xhaka comes in, commits his usual yellow card offence, as Josh mentioned, then can't tackle when we need him to because he's going to commit a foul and get sent off. I mean, it was just... And I thought he was generally poor. I didn't think he was very good. Can it be coincidence that we reverted to our old passing it, the shoehorn of passing it backwards and sideways and, you know, barely forwards when Xhaka's back, and we looked slower. You know, again, in that period when we went unbeaten, where we were playing all right, we looked so much faster. Tonight, if you're going to put Xhaka in with Partey instead of Lokonga, I totally agree with you. Lokonga should have retained his place instead of Partey. And you also pick Odegaard. To me, you're and Lacazette up front on his effectively. That's too slow, isn't it? We were so slow in that first half.
Well, and, I mean, Lokonga. Sorry to interrupt you, but Lokonga came out of the team after we beat Newcastle and has sit and watched us drop the next 6 points.
Yeah, yeah. And on what grounds?
No, it's harsh.
People keep saying, just to interrupt quickly and see what you both think about this. People keep saying, like pundits, I mean, actually, it was Alan Smith that said it, and another thing, he's not tonight, but ages ago when he said, kids, when you play young players, this will always happen, you know. But it's not their fault. It's not the kids that's the problem. The more young players we play, the better we are, generally. It's the fucking oldsters that's the problem. It's Aubameyang fucking not scoring. It's, you know, I mean, in terms of experience, of course, Nketiah is much more experienced than half of that team. He's still not good enough, as you mentioned earlier. And Xhaka back and all that and Partey. These are the experienced players. It's the youngsters that get us through this. And, of course, it's again, Smith-Rowe had a knock tonight, wasn't even on the bench. But we just can't play well without him, it seems to me. But will he learn his lessons?
He was a big blow.
Huge blow.
I mean, Josh said a minute ago, and you know, Josh said from the beginning of the season, really, correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, that you see us finishing around, what, between 8th and 6th? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I was getting caught up in the opportunity. And look, the opportunity for 4th, I think, is bigger than everyone anticipated, predominantly down to United's recent form. However, there is a danger that with a much more united, no pun intended, front and a new manager, that they might actually start to show that they do have a much better squad than, you know, the best of the chasing pack. So there is a danger possibly in sort of 6, 7, 8 games time that, you know, we might not still be sort of on the coattails of 4th. For now, you look at the table, even after defeat tonight, and you know, you're 4 points behind West Ham. And of course, you're still in contention, not least because we play West Ham in a couple of games time. And, you know, there's an opportunity to get back into it. But I don't know. You would be, to say, you know, couldn't take anything off United, just roll, you know, going to Everton on the back of, what was it, their second worst ever run in Premier League history, I think they showed on Sky before the game. I mean, what more do you want to ask for? When would you rather go and play at Goodison Park? So, yeah, I don't know. This one hurt much more than United, even though, you know, we obviously had the opportunity at United.
Everton last won a home game on the 25th of September against Norwich, and Man United last won a home game before they played us on the 11th of September against Newcastle.
That's Tom's point that I mentioned. Yeah, they're cute. Crisis clubs need to play Arsenal. What is quite depressing, I think, as well. In my mental list of things that Arteta's bad at, number one is the decision making and the being too clever. But sorry, Josh. But two, closely followed by man management. And you said, Ricky, when we were trying to think of the explanation for bringing Eddie Nketiah on instead of Pepe and Aubameyang, he's like, maybe you said yourself, you said, oh, maybe, you know, he's trying to make a point to Aubameyang. I mean, he's already fucking dropped him for tonight. Fair enough. And I wouldn't even necessarily argue with that, although it would have been better for the team to play, like I said, Aubameyang together, I think, as I mentioned. But that's his man management level, the unsubtle, you know, sledgehammer of bringing on Nketiah ahead of him. That's not what Aubameyang needs. And you know, both of them missed fucking good chances. Obviously, Nketiah's was unbelievable. But that's just typical for me of his absolutely horrendous man management. I think it's just down to the experience, isn't it? He just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing when it comes to dealing with these players, particularly the mature players. Sorry, Josh, you were going to say something when I was mid-rant.
It was just a point that I was thinking about earlier in terms of Granit Xhaka and being straight back into the side as well, that he got his customary booking for what was 100% a booking. And of course, that meant that in a normal circumstance, if someone was gliding past him in the 92nd minute, he 100% has got to take a yellow card there. You just have to take one for the team. And, you know, points, obviously, he has had an issue. I think he's had four Premier League red cards in the past. Right now, you kind of wish he'd just taken a fifth and, you know, taken the one game suspension. But it was because he'd got his obligatory booking earlier in the game. It didn't give him an opportunity to do that. And that was sort of frustrating because it was one of them where, I don't know about you, I was screaming, bring him down. And then you realise it's Xhaka. And then I don't know, Tomiyasu, White, do they? I don't know. Is it just an incredible goal? Can you do anything? I don't know.
I take your point on Xhaka, but if that was 15 minutes to go, of course, you have to trust that your defence is going to deal with 2 minutes to go. Do you just take the second yellow card and, you know, hope that the team will see it?
He's also on the halfway line.
I don't blame Xhaka for that. I think, you know, well, if you look at the two disallowed goals, Tomiyasu almost played Richarlison onside. Ben White should have gone to Decore for the second disallowed goal. I wouldn't say we were lucky tonight because we ended up losing, but we would have been lucky. Do I think it was a red card? Some people are going to say it was a red card. I think yes, but I don't blame the rest because I think it's...
How can you be convinced he did it intentionally?
Exactly. Yeah. You can't be 100% sure.
Yeah, that was the
100%
sure. That was the Gary Neville point that a lot of people have, I think, failed to... People were furious at Gary Neville, I saw on Twitter, because he said that's what he said. He said, as a player, you know that he meant it, but he knows why he didn't get sent off. And he's making the exact point, which I agree with, because you can't, for referee to change his mind when it's all in the mind, when you can't, you know, you're right, exactly. So
strange that he would do that also. There wasn't any afters, there wasn't any, you know, there was nothing that happened between the two players to stand on his face. No, you're right. And I'm looking at the league table and just back to, you know, where you think we'll finish between sixth and eighth, or is that sort of par? I mean, it's only really Leicester who have probably been worse than us, who you would say, okay, they're 5 points behind us. You probably shove them up a few spaces. And, you know, if they're included in the top eight, then you would say, yeah, we are, you know, where you'd expect us. I cheered. I watched Brighton equalise at West Ham the other day before we played United, and I cheered. It was a 90-whatever minute equaliser. I was thinking, oh God, you know, if we beat United, we go fourth. And now it seems
Ricky, look at the you're right, absolutely right. Ahead of us, you know, Man United, Tottenham, West Ham, and Leicester, you know, they're the ones that, I mean, we're going to finish seventh or eighth, really, aren't we? I think right now, if we stick with Arteta, and the problem is, unlike Man United and Tottenham, who were decisive, you know, I know that the bosses of those teams, the people who run those clubs, get a lot of shit, quite rightly. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I feel with our clubs, even worse run, because we're even more complacent and we'd have to be down there, wouldn't we? He's going to have go on a terrible run to get rid of the fucking manager. Whereas they just had, you know, like, generally mediocrity was what their problem was, both of them, I think. And they got rid of their managers, quite rightly. But my point is, you're looking at West Ham, Tottenham, Man United, possibly Leicester. And the difference between them and us is, I think we're all much of a muchness. All those teams kind of, you know, very much similar. Sometimes, you know, they play pretty well, other times not. The difference is they've got really pretty decent, experienced managers who know what the fuck they're doing.
Mikel Arteta could go on to be a fantastic manager, but we would never have... Like, look at David Moyes, who's currently in fourth position. He wouldn't have given him the job after he managed for a season at Preston or you know, anything like that. Like, we took a huge gamble on Arteta, hoping he was going to be... I know he worked under Pep Guardiola, but there's plenty of assistant managers that worked under Ferguson who didn't go on to be great managers. We took a punt, and because of that, I think we're tied in. I'm not trying to sound particularly ambivalent to it all. I don't like Arteta. I think before we played Vieira... And I think Josh almost scoffed at the idea of taking Vieira now. I would take Vieira in a heartbeat, mostly from an emotional point of view, because I adore him and I think it'd be just great fun. Like, he might not do a good job, but I would love to watch Vieira stand on the sidelines for Arsenal. And I would take Thierry, as ridiculous as it sounds, just because there's that emotional thing. If we're not going to have a great manager.
No, I agree.
And I know I'm not saying I'm right on that, With Arteta, I feel like we've got neither. We haven't got a proven manager, and we haven't got a club legend like Solskjaer at Man United. We've got someone who we're just out on a prayer with, which is fine, like to a certain extent. But you know, it's like Spurs. They bought in Nuno, realised very quickly that it was the wrong decision, and got rid of him. We're not going to do that, Arteta, because they obviously think, you know.
We're way more. I mean, Nuno was what, like a couple of months. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Arteta's been with us. How many games has he had as Arsenal manager now? Can he just go past 100?
Boxing Day, wasn't it? On Boxing Day,
104 games in charge. I mean, it's a...
he's not going anywhere anytime soon, I think, because, like you said, Boyd, we'd have to go in a real slump. We're good enough to, you know, we'll beat Southampton on Saturday, I imagine.
It's so frustrating, isn't it? This is almost more frustrating than having as bad a spell as we had in the, in the Willian period, as I call it, when we were really so rock bottom that you thought, oh, one more loss and we'll get rid of him. And then it didn't quite happen. But now we're just in this kind of like 6th, 7th, 8th mediocrity period, and they're not going to get rid of him. But I agree totally with you. It's like it's boring. That's the worst thing about it. It's what I used to say this in the late Wenger period, and people used to misunderstand, including Josh, what I meant. Like, I there was always the possibility, and I don't mean to mention Wenger and to have a debate about it, but I used to think in that late period, it was the boringness, it was the tedium, it was the repetitiveness of the situation that was for me, infuriating. You know, in theory, managers could come in that could do a worse or better job or whatever. But now we've got this situation where it's incredibly repetitive again. We score, we go 1-0 up, we go up, and then we get timid and defensive and like, or just capitulate like we did tonight. We did against Man U. And you're right, we haven't got the excitement of a real hero of a manager, of an ex-Arsenal player. You know, Thierry Henry was on the Amazon Prime coverage, wasn't he, of the Man U game? I don't know if you saw it because you didn't get it. And he was really interesting. I thought it was really interesting because he was really critical of Arteta without saying his name. There was a real point he was making, and I know he's connected to the American who wants to buy us and all that. But it would be an adventure at least, and he would be more an inspiration, didn't you? I mean, who the fuck knows? Maybe him and an experience. Maybe him and the manager of Ajax could do a good job together. I agree with you about Vieira as well, because again, he's these are two absolute all timers. Mikel Arteta's the guy who passed it sideways for years and was loved at Everton. You know, that's who, and I said this when we first got him. Although
he still loved at Everton after tonight. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Get him back at Everton. They wouldn't have him, would they? They would have him in a million years.
Well, they got Benitez, so it's protein.
Right. They'd rather have Benitez right now. I bet they'd rather have Benitez.
Look, Boyd, is there anything to play devil's advocate here and go, you know what, beat Southampton, beat West Ham.
Yeah, we're not going to. We think we'll beat West Ham? Nah. If we do those things, but there's a very big... doing the heavy lifting in that statement is we win those two games. I mean, that's by no means a certainty in any way. West Ham are absolutely on fire.
Well, I think you made a good point earlier. Sorry, go on, Josh.
No, Ricky, this season, if you said I made a good point, we need to hear from Ricky.
We don't.
Don't forget that point, Ricky.
We've barely drawn a game, right, all season. Like two draws? We basically either won or lost. We obviously had the a couple of draws, the Crystal Palace one. We've won games we've largely been expected to win, and every time we've played a proper team, plus Brentford in a semi-difficult game, we've got beat. And there was Everton. Judging on what we've seen this season, we will beat Southampton at home. You would have to say you feel, you know, fairly still optimistic even after tonight, as much as you can be. And West Ham at home, judging by what we have seen this season, we would probably expect not to lose. So need to see what comes from those two games. I think I don't know. We're still not out of it, are we? We can't say we're out of this top four race. It's just miserable feeling like we do right
Josh,
now.
Josh, I can't believe you interrupted Ricky's reference to the fact that I made a good point with that. But anyway, Ricky, what are you going to say?
You made a good point about Arteta's management, and this is another part of his inexperience, and I have sympathy with him. He's never had to manage players before, and Aubameyang. Thing is, when Arteta came in, Aubameyang was our number one man. He finished top goal scorer the very season, joint with he finished one off Jamie Vardy, one off Jamie Vardy, the season that Arteta took over. And since then, since that last game of the season, when Watford, when we were relegated to Watford at home, he has just been on a slow decline. And I'm not for one second saying it's all down to Arteta. But he's had to suddenly man-manage a player who won us the FA Cup almost single-handedly, scoring four goals in the semi-final and final. He is on a huge contract. And I think, and I have sympathy with him, but he's just one of a few players who's suddenly got a, you know, he's the man who they look to, and he's the man who's deciding. You know, he dropped Arteta for the Spurs, Aubameyang for the Spurs game, which I thought was fine. He turned up late. He's the captain. He dropped him. But Pepe is another person who's got to manage his, effectively kick Guendouzi out. Saliba, who, you know, all I hear about is rave reviews in France, can't even, you know, make our squad when we've got players like Pablo Mari knocking around. You know, man management is a huge thing, and he's dropping our captain, which I didn't have a problem with. He, you know, yeah, I don't think Aubameyang's been on good form, but this is another part where Arteta is trying to essentially learn on the job,
and to then bring on Nketiah. He's had 2 years of learning.
Arsenal, we're too big a club to have a rookie
Aubameyang tonight. Would you have left out Aubameyang?
I had no problem. Personally, I probably wouldn't have done. With no Smith Rowe, I wouldn't have done. But I had no problem with doing that. Aubameyang's not been on good form. He can come out for a game. You know, we've got the festive period coming up and whatnot. But we Arsenal are too big a club to just say, here you go. You were assistant for Pep Guardiola for a few years. Manage Arsenal. And that we are not. We shouldn't be that club. Look at Chelsea. They got Frank Lampard. They're the biggest Chelsea hero going. They gave him the job. He did okay. You know, he didn't do a terrible job, but he wasn't good enough. So they got the manager who now has them. They won the Champions League for half a season. Like, that's the sort of mentality we should have. Not let's see if Arteta can, you know, do all right. It's. I know Chelsea have bigger riches and bigger players.
No, but it's
and,
a good
you know,
point.
A different club, but yeah. we, Arsenal are yeah. too big to just.
And
be
you know
going,
what?
Arteta, give it a go.
Right, and you know what? I think that attitude, and I think the players believe that as well. But I think, you know, consciously or unconsciously, subconsciously, I think that kind of acceptance of mediocrity from the club, now Arteta will get us like 6th, 7th, 8th, something like that. That's fine by them. I think that should transmit itself. In fact, particularly in the Man U game, where they were there for the taking, right? They were absolutely there for the taking, particularly, you know, and we did not go full throttle. You know, and we sat back as soon as we scored that goal, and it was almost like we were kind of like embarrassed to score that kind of, you know, that fluky goal, and it was so weird, I thought. And we sat back and invited them on, and sure enough, they took over and they won the game. But it was all down. But I just think I don't think the players mentally feel that Arsenal are a team that think they deserve to be and can be a top four team right now. I think they all think roughly that we're a 6th, 7th, 8th team right now. And that comes from the club and Arteta and their attitude. And I think it's a massive, massive problem. Oh, God, I'm depressing myself with the whole... And even though we missed the Arteta interview, I can report that Dan said Dan Baldwin said, Arteta chatting same old shit afterwards. It was his decisions that fucked it. I mean, there we go. I mean, it's true, isn't it?
Do you ask Dan for permission to quote him in these public forums from your private WhatsApp group?
I don't think you'll mind. It's not like I'm quoting his deepest thoughts.
Personal details.
Personal details, yeah. I think he's fine with it. Yeah, we'll get him on. We should get him on, though. We'll get him on soon.
We do need a return of the legendary Dan Baldwin. I don't know. I guess this is slightly therapeutic, doing this so immediately after the game. I mean, it could have been worse, right? Iwobi could have made it 3 with about a minute left. That really would have been...
Iwobi coming on was a reminder, particularly because of the fact that he did not score that chance, was a reminder of one of the few good decisions, one of the few great sales that Arsenal have made in the last, 10 years? Iwobi has to stand tall, doesn't he? That decision, that whole... deal was an absolute genius deal, the kind of which we so rarely do, but we did pull it off when it came to getting away.
Yeah, we replaced them with Pepe, they say. Double the money almost. Not to look down on that. Great piece of business.
What's going to happen with Pepe? People are saying, oh, that's because he wants to get rid of him. But we're going to make the biggest loss, aren't we, on a single player in history? Because we're not going to get what? We're going to get like 20 million for him, maybe, if we're lucky? But I can't see us getting 30. The plummet.
Cut your losses, right?
But I mean, oh, God.
In August or beginning of the season, you know, talking about, you know, Pepe going off to the Africa Cup of Nations and, you know, El Neni will be there too and hope it doesn't impact us too much. I mean,
Aubameyang and Partey.
You will not notice, Aubameyang and Partey. I'm saying we will arguably, you know, who are we really suffering from disappearing out of this team at the moment? There's an argument to make that all of them maybe don't deserve a place in the starting 11.
Before we move on to our official predictions for the next game, final point, Partey, I'm quite looking forward to him not being available, I have to say. I mean,
did a little interview on Arsenal website. Did you see it, Boyd? I know you don't miss any of their content.
Is that the one where he gave himself 4 out of 10 for his... performances so far.
I think he was sort of being self-aware. I mean, his performances could certainly be better.
Four marks for being self-aware, Thomas, but he's got to fucking buck your ideas up, mate. I mean,
it's easy to know you're not very popular when you give the ball away at home and 6,000 people groan at you.
Yeah, he is one of the easiest players, funny you should say that, to dispossess, I think, in the Premier League. In midfield.
Well, tonight,
he
is. Did you see the stat tonight? You gave away nine out of 14 of his absolutely he lost.
Extraordinary. He was like the bright hope. He was like, oh, every time Partey plays, you know, just get him fit, he'll be fine. But he's just, fuck it. It's just a disaster, isn't it? I mean, I just didn't think Partey's been going steadily downhill, just not even having any decent performances ever was going to be the problem that was most infuriating about this season. But it pretty much is. I mean, oh my God. 99 problems and Partey is one of them, definitely. So, yeah, we urgently need a midfielder to take the play. I mean, AMN, by the way, not even on the bench tonight. Do we know if he was injured at all? I thought that was fucking insane as well. As he made the miles. I mean, I'd much rather see him in there right now than Partey for a start. He's got to bring Lukonga back in.
We're clutching here, aren't we?
Yeah. Let's stop clutching and ponder what's going to happen on Saturday, 3 o'clock, Southampton at home.
Where are you going for lunch, Boyd, most importantly? You don't have to specify, actually.
No. I haven't decided yet. I don't know exactly who's going, I think. As it draws close to Christmas, people are, you know,
less available for.
Well, yeah, they're hedging their bets.
We're on four bookings. Don't want to get that fifth one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a key fixture.
Yeah. We should
mention our FA Cup draw as well.
Away at Nottingham Forest. I like that. That's a really good old fashioned draw, isn't it?
That was Arsene Wenger's last ever FA Cup game.
Of course, it was pathetic, and that was like a real sad day. That was a really sad day. Yeah, that was like a nail in the coffin, wasn't it?
That was a few nails.
A few nails in the coffin. Yeah, but I mean, in general, the whole idea of playing Forest is a nice.
Yes.
It's a nice thing. It's also
apparently only lost once under their new manager.
Oh wow! It's also Josh Saturday, 2 days after my birthday. So. We're doing a trip.
Nottingham in January. Is that your idea of a holiday?
Maybe. I quite like the idea of Nottingham. Yeah.
Too far, not too near.
A bit of Midlands.
Have to find out what the Nottingham version of Islington Green is for your pre-match.
Hooters. Yeah. We'll go to Hooters. Yeah.
Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup. That's what Mikel Arteta, of course, a former FA Cup winning manager. We'll be looking forward to that. We should remind everyone.
Yeah. Maybe like Wenger should have left
us. We won the world, name.
won the FA Cup. Yeah. His greatest achievement.
Dear Boyd, I might just go and see if I can download the Wenger film again and cheer myself up after this. That's what it's come to.
I assume you would have just bought it and be ready for you to watch at any given moment.
So far I've seen it in the cinema. I've not bought it, but you're right. I should have done that. You probably got sent a free copy, didn't you, being a big name in that world?
Do you know what I haven't? No, outrageously. But I have. I've got it on my Sky Q for sure. Yeah.
Sky Q. Oh, you can buy it through Sky Q?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Good to know. I will be purchasing imminently. What do you think, Boyd, will happen against Southampton?
We've got to win. I mean, we've just fucking got to win that game. So we will. 2-1, I think. 2-1. What do you think?
I think we'll draw 2-2.
Oh, my God. Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That's not right. Well, yeah, and
they've been
then
very unlucky, Southampton. They played very well against Leicester. And then
last minute
seconds against Brighton, Neil Morpay scored. So I think Southampton have been okay. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just very sad at the moment, but I fear for Saturday won't be as smooth as I think. Ricky,
I don't like sad. Josh is sad. Oh dear.
Just looking at our fixtures. So I think we'll beat Southampton 1-0, because if we're going to win a game, it'll probably be by 1-0. You look at our fixtures and it's big, because we should really be taking, I want to say maximum points, but we've got Man City on New Year's Day and we've got Sunderland. Aside from that, we've got 5 winnable games in the league. Norwich and Leeds are our away games and Southampton, Wolves and West Ham are our home games.
It's a massive. I think these are the 5 games that decide are we in that top 4 race, or are we just in a European race? I think it'll be one or the other.
Because after New Year's Day we've got City and then we've got Spurs. That's next week.
God, my prediction for that whole run, Ricky, is that is we don't quite pull it off and we end up being 6th, 7th, or 8th. Then we hit
1-0 on Saturday in Nketiah to get the winner. Just to give a little funny side of this whole debacle.
Oh, guys. Well, let's hope you're right. Thank you, Ricky, for joining us on this frankly depressing podcast episode. Thanks, Josh, as ever. Soho House looking office, looking good. And we will be back. This time next week, maybe, after our glorious victory over Southampton, hopefully. See you later. Bye.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.